Well, good morning, God's beautiful people.
Good morning.
Here it is. We've come this far by faith, and this is the last time in worship with you in this wonderful space God has provided for us, one of the spaces for worship and for fellowship, and to have been inspired myself by many of the ways in which we express ministry in this church, from you to me and me to you and God with us. I want to share as part of the reflection, which would include some of my thoughts of this journey, from the book of Genesis in chapter 32, and then from the letter to the Hebrews, a book that I have walked with some of the members of this church in the Bible study on a Thursday morning, and I thought I would read a portion of Hebrews in chapter 11 and 12. So let's hear from God's word beginning in Genesis 32 from verse 20. And you shall say, moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he thought, I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me. And afterwards I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself spent that night in the camp. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then the man said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have wrestled with God and with humans and have prevailed. And then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. And now from the letter to Hebrews in chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 8 and then two verses in 12. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, where the architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren. And considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've come this far by faith. A guy decided to show off his skills by walking a tightrope over a waterfall. But before he began, he asked the crowd, "How many have the faith that I can walk this tightrope?" And the crowd cheered him on, and when he made it to the other side, they cheered for him again. He then silenced the crowd and asked, "How many have the faith that I can do it blindfolded?" And the crowd cheered him on, and when he made it to the other side, they cheered for him again. He then silenced the crowd and looked towards some construction equipment where there just happened to be a wheelbarrow. He asked the crowd, "How many have the faith that I can carry this wheelbarrow over my head, blindfolded across this tight rope?" And the crowd cheered him on, and when he had made it to the other side, they cheered for him again. And he then silenced the crowd and said, "I want to thank you for the enormous amount of faith you have shown to me, but I'm not finished yet. How many have the faith that I can walk this tightrope, blindfolded, carrying this wheelbarrow with someone in it?" And the crowd began to cheer him on, but he stopped them with one last request. "May I have a volunteer?" And the crowd really became silent. You know, friends, at the end of this year of ministry here at Christ Church, I can only look back and say this past year have seemed like an awesome wheelbarrow ride. I jumped into that wheelbarrow, and when I was appointed here at Christ Church, you know, it takes a bunch of faith to ride in a wheelbarrow. They aren't the most stable of hauling devices. One wheel in the front causes it to tip quite easily, and the handles, no matter how good of shape they're in, always require a great deal of strength to get the load moving. Riding in wheelbarrows and faith. Now, there is a great farewell sermon. John, you ever rode in a wheelbarrow? Never did, eh? You did? Oh my gosh, John never did. What about you, Brad?
At some point, eh?
Peggy, have you ridden a wheelbarrow before? Sally, have you? Yeah. Oh my gosh, Sally has. Richard, what about you?
When you were four or five.
What about Scott? Where's Scott? Tom and Scott, these trustees, have you ridden a wheelbarrow? Chris, some of the others? Wow. Well, I tell you, I've tried myself. You know, there's barrow in my name too, right? So I've tried. We've wrestled with our faith. We've wrestled with our faith. You know, we've heard the story from Genesis, but let me give you the rest of the story. In the chapters preceding the one read, we read of how Jacob stole livestock and wives and servants, but were able to make an agreement with the one he stole them from. But Jacob still wanted his brother Esau's approval. So Jacob sent out his servants to contact Esau, and Jacob was excited to hear from his returning servants that Esau would be coming. That is until he found out that 400 warriors were coming too. Needless to say, Jacob became nervous. So he sent out his whole flock all through the night, a third at a time, as a gift to hopefully appease his brother. And after he sent his flock out to meet and appease, the story continues in what you heard already read. Jacob and God wrestled. Jacob wants a blessing to know God's name. God wants Jacob's heart and even breaks his hip to get his attention. Yes, there are times when God does not fight fairly. All night, they went back and forth, back and forth. Have you ever had those kinds of conversations with God? Back and forth. All night, Jacob and God struggled together. This struggle of faith reminds me of my first week in this area, moving from the district superintendent role in Syracuse, not having been a pastor of a local church for some 15 years, didn't have a sermon to preach, didn't know anyone here, really. You didn't know me. I didn't know you. More than a first date situation. It was a kind of a culture shock for us. There was a lot of wrestling between God and me during that time. But just as Jacob and God finally finished, God broke my negative spirit to get me to see all the positives that we could experience together. As I think of the past year, some new friendships and new relationships have been formed. You've cared for me. You've cared for us. During some difficult situations, difficult, challenging times last fall. And like you, I hear these words of the book, the writer to Genesis. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Have prevailed. Just as Esau ran up to Jacob and gave him a big hug, letting Jacob know that he cared more about their relationship than his stuff. This church, this community, welcomed the traveler unknown into your midst. And for that, we're grateful. Here at Christ Church, I have learned that struggle and uneasiness and sometimes pain can strengthen one's faith. But not only have we wrestled with our faith, we have guided each other along the way. That's really what the church is all about, isn't it? One group of people have guided another group of people along the way, from generation to generation. We keep passing along the amazing work of God to another generation. Part of this graduation is passing on passing on from one generation to the other, making a difference in people's lives along the way. Our faith in our circumstances here at this church have shown your love and your hope and your faith in the way you have treated me and my family, the way you have treated each other, our neighbors, as we read in Hebrews, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, not to me, not to the next pastor, not to the leaders, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In my time here at Christ Church, I have learned that faith often comes when we witness the faith of others. And I have witnessed the faith of others in so many different ways. I have grown to see, you know, I visit the homebound and I see their faith in God, their love for this church, the conversations I've had with those at their bedside in hospital rooms. I've seen the faith at memorial services. I've seen the faith of the members of this church, their families, and the expression of the witness of those who have serve faithfully. Peggy Bermudez, as a lay leader in this church, has been one of those guides in the expression of faith and the struggle. And leaders of this church, finance and stewardship, and they're wrestling and struggling. Brad and others just wrestling with their faith about this church. Those who are seeking to serve God more faithfully. Choir in its transition of various kinds of adjusting to a new leader and still singing the joyful music of God, wrestling, witnessing to the fact that it could all fall apart. Individuals wrestling with family struggles of one kind or the other, wrestling. The staff, parish relations team of this church, just having their hands full, wrestling. My partner in crime, my partner, Sally Pollard, wrestling, trying to understand how ministry can be different. We all in this church have demonstrated faith, known and unknown to us. And so we have guided each other along the way. But we've also experienced faith in light of hope and love. Wrestling and witnessing and the grace-filled experiences of our faith cannot be accomplished if we're trying to operate under faith alone, my dear friends. I found it interesting, you know, when you read 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul talks about love. Just last evening, I was sharing this with a wonderful couple here, and he wrote these words, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Often we put the emphasis on love, but the first part of that last verse tells us that it also takes faith and hope. Where faith fails, hope and love are still present. Where love fails, there is faith and hope. Where hope fails, there is love and faith. Do we see it? to have the fullest sense of Christian living, it takes all three. Hope draws our attention to God's promises for the future. Love, the greatest of the three, draws our attention to the relationship that Christ wants to have with us and to have us have with others. And faith allows us to hope and to love. So that even though we cannot see the evidence, we can know it to be true. In my time here at Christ Church, short as it has been, I have seen that faith and hope and love work together. Yes, we've come this far by faith. And you may say, well, what about the wheelbarrow? What about the wheelbarrow? Well, my friends, I believe that God has been piloting the wheelbarrow in my ministry from the first day I have been a United Methodist pastor. And since day one in Christ Church's ministry, you know, in this 60 years of faith publication, if you have not read this, Ed Fisher had a lot to do with this. And in fact, Ed Fisher handed me this, one of the first things I got when I came here. Now, this is 60 years of publication, but we are actually 67 years now. 67 years. Doesn't that sound good? 67 years. It's noted the official pastor's list. Official pastor's list. One of the pages have it here. The official pastor's list. And what I find interesting about it is that from since 1949, when we look at the names and the dates, I can tell us, my friends, without any doubt, that Christ Church survived each of these transitions, and transitions they were. And we're still here. We're still here, aren't we? Yes. Even the community has survived them too. Amen? Even though God was holding the handles, and even though things may have rocked back and forth a little bit as one pastor gets out and another pastor got in, we came this far together by faith. And faith will always move us forward. There's a song that has a chorus line that is applicable to our theme today. We have come this far by faith, carried by everlasting arms. We've come this far with confidence, leaning on the Lord. And though the road be long, in God's strength we'll carry on. We've come this far by faith, gently leaning on the Lord. You know, the greatest gift you could give to me today is for me to know that you are in the wheelbarrow too. Needless to say, it is a very big wheelbarrow. And that wheelbarrow consists of everyone who has ever turned to God for forgiveness and look to God's Spirit for leadership in our lives. Across denominations, congregations, worship styles, and yes, even locations coming from the islands. God wants us to jump into God's wheelbarrow, even though it's about to cross a tight rope strung across some falls, maybe Niagara Falls, I don't know. Not because God needs to show off, but because God's looking and inviting each of God's creation to be a person of faith. And there is always room for us to invite one more. Always room for one more. All we need to do, my friends, is to ask for forgiveness and search out God's leadership in our life. And then our faith journey will begin as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.